Are we doing this? Really?
Wait for it.
Are we doing this?
Wait for it.
Pow! What the f***?
WTF.
And it's also, what the f***?
What's wrong with
it? It's WTF. And if you're one of the hundreds of thousands of people who regularly listen to that podcast, that intro is very familiar. Listen up. Joining us from the Cat Ranch, as they say, is Mark Maron. He's the comedian and host of this increasingly super popular podcast called WTF with Mark Maron. If you're not currently obsessed with that podcast, it's real simple. It's just Mark talking to other mainly comedians about comedy, life, politics, whatever else comes up in the hour-long conversations conducted in Mark Maron's garage out in L.A. You may remember Maron from back in the day at comedy clubs here in New York or from his stint as morning man on Air America. We're happy to welcome Mark Maron to WNYC. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing all right. You probably remember I was a guest once on your Air America show.
I remember that. It was an awkward morning, I believe, at the Republican National Convention, right?
That's exactly where it was.
So we were, like, behind enemy lines, cloistered there in a liberal cubicle, talking politics. I remember very well.
Well, we're nonpartisan, but I think they, for their political purposes, placed public radio right next to Air America because they wanted to try to make a certain kind of statement and spin. But that was another time and another place. Now you're talking about comedy a lot more than when you were talking politics on Air America. What are you trying to do with the WTF podcast?
Well, that was a very conscious decision, you know, after doing political talk radio for about a year and a half, 2 years, that I became, you know, even more cynical and even, you know, less idealistic than I was when I entered political talk. And I found that a lot of the issues that were bothering me or affecting me were existential issues. That I found when I started WTF that a lot of our energy as people or many people just goes into sort of getting by in your life, in your relationship, you know, just trying to keep the voices in your head in check so you don't destroy yourself or others. And I decided to honor that part of myself and talk more along those lines about, you know, life. And it seems to resonate much deeper and larger than politics ever did.
And to give people a little taste, if they haven't heard it, here's about a minute from your recent interview with Norm Macdonald, the comedian people probably know best from Saturday Night Live when he was doing Weekend Update.
So, like, you still haven't walked me through losing everything.
Well, how you do it? Physically?
Yeah, because you know, you've got a house, you had a lot of money saved up, and then, like, so you make one bet, and then you realize you're about to lose everything. Do you make phone calls to people saying, like, I just need a little more? I mean,
well, you know, you kind of at the end of it, you know, it's happening. It's, I guess it's like, I've never had substance abuse problems, but I guess it's like people that know they're going to hit bottom, mm-hmm. you know. And kind of want it,
yeah,
because it does get it's exhausting,
yeah,
to be obsessed with something,
right?
So you are, I guess, trying to do it, trying to finish it off,
right?
Finally,
right?
If you have $450,000 in the bank, whatever
yeah.
the fuck it was, and then you lose $400,000, you go fuck it, I don't want the fucking have $50,000,
right?
to remind me that I don't want money to remind me that I have more money.
So that's how you do it.
So that's how you do it, yeah.
And you did that three times.
Three times in my life, yeah.
And we should say the bleeps are ours. You don't have to bleep on your podcast. We did air here on WNYC, Mark, as you know, a series of five of your WTF programs. Did you, you know, kind of clean up the approach for radio air?
Well, I think what we is that we took the episodes and we trimmed them down. Some of the episodes we did for public radio, we did the deal with public radio PRX, and we just created programming that you guys could play. We didn't take out a lot of content, but we did have to clean up the language and sort of you know, structure the show in a little different way. But we tried to keep the best stuff in there.
But to the content of the Norm Macdonald conversation, that's the kind of stuff you're trying to get out of people, the internal stuff behind well-known comedians' behavior?
Well, I think what I'm really trying to do is have authentic conversation. I don't prepare a lot for conversations. A lot of these guys I know kind of. We're in the same community, so we share a lot of A lot of our lives are similar in how we've chosen to live them. And I've always believed that comics, given the amount of time that we have to think about life, are philosophers, and they're smart guys, and they're very sensitive, and a lot of them are highly self-aware and a little darker than most people. But I think that they are equipped to address almost anything in life. So I just try to have authentic conversations, and if it happens for 5 minutes, if it happens for an hour, great. And if I'm surprised by it, that's spectacular. I mean, the Norm Macdonald interview, a lot of times I come to these interviews where I think I know somebody, or I know them from television, or I've got a sense in my head of what they're like, and then I get to talking to them, and I'm blown away. A lot of these conversations are like people meeting for the first time and getting to know each other. You know, I recently did one with Stephen Wright, that'll be on later in the year, that I had no idea that he was he's a very sweet, smart, down-to-earth, grounded guy who really likes to laugh. I'm just constantly surprised. If the conversation can get to a point where we're actually engaged in having a real one, then I'm ecstatic. Mm-hmm.
Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, a series of 10 of his WTF shows aired on WNYC this past summer. Something people learn from listening, I think, is the little divisions in the comedy world, like the improv group, like Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, versus maybe guys like you who came up through stand-up. And then even within the stand-up world, the guys like you seem to look down on the guitar act guys or the prop act guys like Dimitri Martin or Carrot Top. Do those factions actually exist?
Well, we're not organized. There's not email lists. But, yeah.
Get the guitar guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there was certain lines drawn at another time in comedy, and I think some of those have held. I think that the prop act or the guitar act or the happy hour act at another time was seen as an opposing camp to real stand up. I think a lot of those lines have faded a bit, and I've sort of my feelings about them have sort of shifted as I get older. You know, show business is show business, but they do exist. Certainly people within the community judge others within the community, but I don't know, people are a lot more diplomatic now. You got to watch what you say these days.
And maybe it's you getting a little older, but I think you end up apologizing for your past self in some of these interviews.
Well, this is also called the Mark Maron Amends Project. That's what WTF is.
Yes. AKA MAP, the Mark Maron Amends Project.
Right.
Something that you say on the show is that in comedy, the edgiest thing you can do is tell the truth.
At this point in time, it seems like it. It seems to make the people the most uncomfortable is how you handle raw honesty. I mean, I think shock is sort of dead. I mean, is there anything that is really that shocking that's made to shock people on purpose? But I think that the emotional menace that real honesty is capable of is something that people have lost an ability to really take in. And I think as we get more detached and isolated, you know, technologically and socially, that this stuff really has an impact because people crave it, whether they know it or not.
So let me play a clip of you on Real Time with Bill Maher that did shock people. I don't know if you were going for shock here or if this is one of those things that just came out and then you thought, oh, my God, did I actually just say that out loud? But you said a thing about Michelle Bachmann and you took heat for it. And listeners, this is going to be seriously bleeped also. So here it is.
I don't want to be crass, but I just hope that Marcus Bachmann takes all that, you know, that rage that comes from repression and denial and brings it into the bedroom with her. And I hope he f***s her angrily because that's how I would. And I've thought about it.
So how do you really feel about Michelle Bachmann?
Well, I don't think I could be any clearer, Brian, but I...
Yeah, right.
Look, you know, I when it comes to political comedy, you know, I can be irreverent and I can be a little, cutting. But it was obviously meant as a joke, and it had two targets, and the targets were Michelle Bachmann and her husband. And I don't think that it was that strange an angle to take. But it actually gave some of the right this opportunity to accuse a liberal of being misogynistic, and I don't believe that I am, and I don't believe that any any politician deserves respect just because they're running for president. And you know, certainly my feelings, you know, politically are anti-Bachman for the most part. Mm. But I was just trying to make it funny and charge it up with a little nasty sex.
When you look back at your Air America experience, you know, I know that that whole network went down largely because of some screwed up business people at the top. But nothing has really sprung up to replace it. So there's no aggressive mainstream national liberal talk on the radio to try to rival Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, et cetera. There is some now on television with Rachel Maddow, who came out of Air America, and her colleagues on MSNBC, but not on the radio. Do you think there just aren't enough left people to support it?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think that because of the left's, you know, big umbrella sort of big tent idea, which is what it is, which we have a lot of different voices that represent a lot of different approaches to being a progressive. And I think that when you look at the right, they are narrow-minded and shameless for the most part. So it's a lot easier to get people on the same page when you're that focused, when your ideology is narrow, shameless, bullying, and simplistic. Whereas the left, I think, it's very hard to please all of the left. I don't know if you know that. But, I mean, even if you look at the criticism that's being leveled at Occupy Wall Street by the right and some of the left, that, like, you know, what's the message? Why are there so many hippies? How come no one can get on the same page? Well, that's sort of what the left is a lot of times, but I think that is a misunderstanding of what's going on in that situation. But I think it's similar. I just think there's a lot more voices to represent, and there's no single trajectory through which we can funnel our anger.
They say in presidential politics, Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. So maybe the same thing is true in media.
I would agree with that.
Before you go, just want to let people know that you do shows in New York, live shows from time to time, even though you live in L.A. You've done several at the Bell House in Brooklyn. You're doing something with Ira Glass at the WFMU Radio Vision Fest this Saturday, right?
Yeah, Saturday morning at 10 p.m., me and Ira Glass and Tom Sharpling are doing a panel. I think the topic is origin stories, and I guess we'll be talking about our own.
Sorry, was that Saturday morning or Saturday night?
Saturday morning.
10 a.m.?
Yes, sir.
And let's see, I guess tickets for that are at radiovision.wfmu.org. Any other thing coming up live for you in New York?
Well, I'm going to be appearing on the streets of New York, just walking around. So if you see me, say hi.
All right. In that case, though, you're in the audience because it is a show, as you well know. All right.
Absolutely.
Mark Maron from the WTF podcast. Good to talk to you again. Thank you very much.
Great talking to you, Brian. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. We continue our Something's Coming series, fall preview series. This time, we will be looking at non-classical music. Stay with us.